the privilege of coming here. You know, I just want to say that I just really want to thank you guys for asking me. It's been lovely. You are really special people. And I feel very privileged to be able to just speak the word to your hearts, because I know that God loves you very much, and he really wants to input into your hearts keys and seeds that will continue to grow and give you understanding about where you're at right now. I believe this particular word that I'm going to preach right now will actually give you understanding of where you're at and will help you to begin to walk through the life and the journey that God has for us as Christians. And God spoke to me this word probably about 3 months ago now, so I've practiced it on one other group of people as well. So I just need you to know that. So but God specifically gave me this word, and I know that it is very powerful. So it will help you to understand some of the process of what's happening in your lives. And you'll get to really begin to see that God is very gracious, and he knows what he's doing even when we think he doesn't. Yeah? So that's really awesome. So if you will turn with me, please. Oh, the other thing is too, I leave this afternoon, so if anybody wants tapes, please, will you come and see me? If you need to go and speak to your husband about that, that's fine, later on. But I'm going to leave probably a few sets in the office, and so they will be available at the thank you for saying yes, nodding your head. I spoke to my sister here, but I forgot to talk to the office ladies, and so thank you for being gracious. And so there will be a few copies left in the office as well. They are $30 a set, and they are well worth buying. They are the information and the material in those tapes. Let me tell you, it transferred my life as a young Christian. Totally turned me upside down on my head, and I began to realize that I can do this stuff. I can walk with God. I can lead my neighbors to Jesus. I can begin to see the power of God operate through my life. And it just is some basic practical teaching on how to learn to grow in faith in the area of healing. So I recommend them highly to you. I need to, I guess, give credit where credit is due. The basis of the material that I learned first was from a man called Stuart Grimmens, and Stuart is a very special friend of mine. He and his wife Mary, I worked with their organization for 9 years, and they are amazing people with such a passion to see people, real people, ordinary people, come to know the life in Christ. And so every aspect of the material is from a real people's point of view and aspect. So I really encourage you. The material, the basis of it was Stuart's, and I've made it mine. So you don't get Stuart's examples, you get mine. And and I asked him if it was okay to reproduce his material. He said, "Cecily, it's no longer mine, it's yours." So God is good, isn't he? So, and don't forget that they are to support the missionaries that I have on the field. And that is a great privilege for me. I believe that people have a call to the nations, and I believe in supporting those people. And I would love to be there myself, but because God has got me here and my heart is still to support them, it's been a way that God has allowed me to do that. So I really thank you for buying those tapes and supporting them. Also, would you turn with me, please, to Genesis chapter, back to Genesis again. Here we go, chapter 29. I love the Old Testament. You know, when I was a new Christian, all I wanted was the New Testament. It's really amazing. I just love the New Testament. And, you know, it was fantastic. And, you know, it was what I needed at the time. But I've come to understand that the Old Testament actually gives the basis of what God wants, the underlying basis. And the New Testament brings into line everything so that we're able to do it today because of what Jesus did, obviously. But, you know, the Old Testament is a very important part of the Bible, and God didn't put it there for no reason. So let's have a look. Let's look from verse 16 through to 35. This is the story of Jacob, Rachel, Leah, or the event of Jacob, Rachel, Leah, and Laban. Now, Laban had two daughters. The name of the elder was Leah, and the name of the younger was Rachel. Leah's eyes were delicate, but Rachel was beautiful of form and of appearance. Now, Jacob loved Rachel, so he said, "I will serve you 7 years for Rachel, your younger daughter." And Laban said, "It was better that I give her to you than that I should give her to another man. Stay with me." So Jacob served 7 years for Rachel, and they seemed only a few days to him because of the love he had for her. Then Jacob said to Laban, "Give me my wife, for my days are fulfilled, that I may go into her." And Laban gathered together all the men of the place and made a feast. And it came to pass in the evening that he took Leah, his daughter, and brought her to Jacob. And he went into her. Verse 25. So it came to pass in the morning, behold, it was Leah. Imagine that. Behold. Glory to Jesus is what I say. Must have had too much wine. And he said to Laban, "What is this that you have done to me? Was it not for Rachel that I served you? Why then have you deceived me?" And Laban said, "It must not be so in our country to give the younger before the firstborn." You know, it's a joke in my family. The girls, when they read that story, they said to me, "You know, Cecily, we're so grateful to God that it wasn't like that in our culture, because we'd still be hanging, because I'm the oldest daughter in the family and the oldest person. There were six of them." They're very grateful. Anyhow. So what verse did I get up to? 26? And Laban said, "It must not..." Okay, 27. Fulfill her week, and we will give you this one also for the service which you will serve me still another 7 years. Isn't that interesting? When I was a little girl, I had that story told to me at Sunday school, and I thought, oh, poor Isaac. Poor thing. He had to wait another 7 years before he really got the woman of his dreams. No, he didn't. He only had to wait 1 week, and he had both. Isn't that interesting? He only waited 1 week. Did you read that? Let's read it again. So it came to pass in, verse 26. And Laban said, "It must not be done in our country so to give the younger before the firstborn. Fulfill her week, and we will give you this also for the service. You will serve me still another 7 years." So he actually had both wives, and he worked another 7 years. It's interesting, isn't it? Some of you have been taught like what I was. And you know what? That blew me away when I read that. I thought, oh, I've got it wrong. He had both. Now, that's very important when we go on with this story. It's very important to remember that when we go on with this story. Verse 28. Then Jacob did so and fulfilled her week. So he gave his daughter Rachel as wife also. Then verse 30, it says, then Jacob also went to Rachel, and he also loved Rachel more than he loved Leah. And he served with Laban still another 7 years. Now, this is a really interesting story. When I read this, I was going through a very tough time at the time. It was a pretty tough space. I was having some interesting things happening, some accusation that was untrue. But I decided that I wasn't going to try and defend myself, because I have learned to let God be my vindicator. I have learned that I could never ever be a pastor without, if I just keep trying to please everybody, or if I keep trying in my heart to just, you know, defend myself on every action when I know that I'm being falsely accused, then I'm going to be a very hurt person, and I'm also going to be a very defensive person. But I've learned to say, I understand and I'm very sorry that you're hurt. And I've learned to not defend myself, but to learn to trust God to defend me. Do you know what? On every time that I've done that, when I haven't defended myself, when I've stood back and said, God, you are my defender. Sometimes it's taken years for that to happen. Sometimes it's taken days and hours, and sometimes it's taken months. And this particular time, I'd been going through this for about 3 or 4 months. And I had come to a place where I said, God, I don't know if I can cope anymore. And I was just saying, Father, I trust you, so I have to. And I haven't defended myself so far, so I have to learn to trust you again. So this was a tough time to me. You see, in the story, Jacob's journey through life was an interesting one. You know what I think about Jacob? Jacob is an interesting man. He's a tricky man. He's a very tricky man. He tricked his brother out of his inheritance. But you know what? He had a father-in-law that was trickier than him. Don't you love that? I love it. I think, you know what? Sometimes we young people, younger people, we just think, you know, we know it all. But he had a father all of us, older and wiser than him. It was quite cute. He was a tricky man, old Jacob. And he, you know, he tried to do lots of tricky things. And sometimes we get a bit tricky in our lives. And we think we can get away with it. But let me tell you, trickiness is not straight up with God. And God will deal to your trickiness. And so don't be tricky. It's not worth it. It's really honestly not worth it. And but, you know, in the midst of that, he thought he had missed out on what he believed was God's destiny for his life. It was Rachel he wanted. It wasn't Leah. He wanted Rachel. He thought that he'd missed out on God's promise and that he got something else by mistake. See, God's pretty tricky too. God's trickier than what we think. He thought he'd missed out and he'd got the wrong woman. Well, the Word of God says that every one of us has a future and a hope. We all do. We have a future and a hope, a destiny, an inheritance. But there's a promise and there is a process in attaining what God has got for us. Did you hear that, ladies? There is a process in attaining what God has got for us. Here it is for Jacob, 7 years plus 7 years. Interesting, isn't it? So what is the promise here? Firstly, there is What is the process here? There is a process in Jacob's life, and so there's a process in all of our lives. Number one, the first part of the process is promise. God has a promise for us, and how many of you receive the promises of God? I mean, for those of you that have received eternal life through Jesus Christ, number one, you've received the promises of God. You've received a promise that God is going to has a place for you, prepared for you. He has a place, he has given eternal life for you. He's given his life for yours. And that is part of the promise of God. Secondly, there are principles in the Bible that we follow to receive what God has got for us. There are some principles. So number one, there is a promise. Secondly, there are principles that we have to follow through. Thirdly, because of that, there will come a problem or a challenge. And we have to work through that problem and that challenge. And you know what? We don't always like that. We don't like it at all. But that is the truth, and there is. And then fourthly, there comes the provision from God or the reward for faithfulness. The reward for faithfulness to the process. To the process. So the thing that we're coming to understand is that there is a process in receiving the promises of God. You see, when God gives us a promise, we must learn to follow the principles in the Word in order to receive what He's got for us, or the provision, the reward for what He's got for us. And in other words, while we're following the principles, problems and challenges will come. They not might come, they will come. Now the word of God says offence will come. Not offence might come, offence will come. There are problems and challenges. As you go through this journey of life, just as Jacob did, there are things that will crop their ugly heads up. And you will have to begin to walk it through one piece and one step at a time. And in other words, we're to follow the principles and the problems and challenges will come. And can I just say to you today, can I ask you a question? How do you react and what do you do with the challenges and the things that come? Will you be faithful with Leah in order to obtain Rachel? Will you be faithful with Leah in order to obtain Rachel? I have a friend. When I was living in, I was based in Australia for some time, and when I was living in Australia, I was boarding with this family. And they had myself and another guy boarding in the same home. And Peter, he was a lovely guy. He was full of enthusiasm and all of those things, but he lacked wisdom in lots of areas, but he was a real honey, a really, really nice person. And anyway, one day he said, you know, Cess, what I've decided is that I'm not a very patient person. And because I'm not very patient, you know, I've decided that I've asked God for patience. And I thought, oh, God. No, please don't do that. And he said, and I went to church, and there was this old guy in church. He was just so beautiful. We used to call him Brother John. He was a real old guy, and he just was such a faithful man of God. And he just fathered all the young guys, you know, all the guys that hadn't had fathers, and he just fathered them all. He just was so lovely. Anyway, Peter went up to him one day and he said, Brother John, do you think you could pray with me? And he said, what for, son? And he said, I would like patience. So he said, yes, get down on the floor with me. So he got down on the floor. He took his hands. Peter said, this was very scary, Cess. This old guy took his hands and he said, Father, I pray that you give this young man tribulation in the morning. Peter opened one eye, closed it again. And then he said, Father, I pray that you give this young man tribulation in the afternoon. And Father, I pray that you give this... And Peter said, I said, stop! It was so, so funny. At the end, he said, why are you praying this? And he said, the older, wiser man said to him, the word of God says that patience comes by tribulation. How many of you know that that's true? Oh, man. And you see, it was Rachel that Jacob loved. It was Rachel that the promises, that God's promises and provision and rewards were to come from. But it was Leah that he had to be faithful to first. Isn't that interesting, girls? It was Leah that he had to be faithful to first. Now, in the story this afternoon, yeah, I'm getting my times because I've got written morning here, see, so I must have preached it in the morning service. In this story this afternoon, let's just begin to symbolize that you and I, we're Jacob, all right? We're Jacob. And let's symbolize that Laban is the father or the provision. He's the one that has got the provision to give. He's got, you know, he has the daughter to give to us, all right? But Jacob. And then there's Rachel. Well, she's the provision. She's ultimately what we want and the promise of God. And then there's Leah. Well, she is the process. Leah is the process or the challenge that we go through to get the reward that we're after. Leah is the process. You see, Rachel was beautiful and Jacob wanted her, and he wanted her now. Thank you very much. Actually, yesterday would be very good. Thank you very much. Anybody? Got any friends? I'm like that, man. I am so impatient. It's amazing. You know, many of us, God has promised us many things that we want, and God has promised me many things, including a husband. And that's really cool. I know it in my heart. And yet, I have not got the evidence of that right now. But God knows where I'm at. He knows everything about me. There's other things. There is one promise that God promised. I remember one day I was driving along in Australia, and I had been preaching in the city, and I looked across. It was in the city of Newcastle, actually. And I was driving past the Newcastle Night Stadium. And this it was like this word just came to my heart and said, and it was like a desire, I don't know what it was, but it was God, I was sure of it, that, wouldn't it be awesome to preach in that stadium full, with that stadium full. You know, within 3 months, I preached in that stadium and it was full of young people. It was absolutely jam-packed full of young people. Now, in the midst of that, some of the promises that I've asked God for have happened, and it's been fantastic. But some of them I'm still waiting for. So some of them God gives you just like that. Now, others, there is a process that you have to work for through for God to give them to you. And you know what? You need to get contented about where you're at. I've got several friends that are single that are whinging about being single, and I said, oh, for goodness sake. Get on being what God wants you to be, doing what God wants you to do, and let God begin to do what He wants in your life. Stop trying to manipulate God into what you want. Because you know what? You will get second best, because God will say, okay, then have what you want. And then you'll come crying, and I'll say, oh, I'm sorry. But really, I want to say, do you know what I mean? And so, I do believe that God will let you have what you want. God doesn't take away from our will. But if you hear the voice of God, you'll hear the right voice of God. And God will touch you, and you'll know it on the inside. And so, being patient generally isn't what we want. For example, I know that in our society, we live in an instant society, instant coffee, instant pudding, instant potatoes, and we want everything instantly now, absolutely everything. And so we expect it all. You know, we even stand at the microwave, press the buttons and think, this thing's taking forever. I mean, we used to have to cut the wood to light the fire, for goodness sake. Isn't it true? I mean, it's just, it's amazing how instant society. And so in verse 26, let's have a look at what it says in verse 26. This is after Jacob came and complained. Verse 26, and Laban said, it must not be done in our country to give the younger before the firstborn. And, you know, he knew that. He knew that. He was trying to trick his father-in-law again. He knew the culture. He knew that, and you know, that the older person in the family, older girl in the family, had to be married first. But he decided that he would try it another way, just as he always did. Interesting, isn't it? Isn't it funny? We just keep going back there, don't we? Just keep going back to the old tricks. Isn't it interesting? We do. We can't help ourselves. We just have to have the Spirit of God speaking to us all the time. And then, and he said to him, look, what sort of trick is this that you're doing? And then verse, now, you know, the thing about it is Jacob didn't want Leah, he wanted Rachel. Now, let's get honest about this. What I love about Jacob is he was a bit tricky, but what I loved about him was his attitude. He could have stormed out of there, blew his top and said, I'm out of here then. Okay then, have it your way and I'm out of here. I'm not waiting around for all of this. He could have cut off the process. He could have divorced Leah and that would have been it. He could have cut that off so easily. How many of us feel let down and disappointed and unappreciated and laboring in vain and discouraged because you've been toiling away and not seeing any fruit for your labor? How many of us have felt like that? You feel like giving up. You've been waiting 7 years and hey, there's another 7 years to go. It feels like that sometimes, doesn't it? But you see, God has given you Leah to see if you'll be faithful with her before you will receive Rachel. And you see, I believe that that same example is so real. Some of you may be wanting to have a desire for all kinds of things in your life. Like there are many desires that I have to see God do things in my life. There are many, many. And some of you may be knowing that God's got a call on your life in some way, but you're still stacking chairs in church or cleaning the toilets or whatever else, you know. And you're thinking, oh, God, is this for real? Or you're waiting for your husband to come to know the Lord. You've been praying for years and all of that, and you, but the process, but it's just hard and long, and you just have to say, Lord, what is happening here? And so you still find yourself in this position. Some of you have wanted children and you haven't been able to have them, and you're still waiting, and all kinds of things, you know. There's all sorts of things. I don't know what's in your heart, but God does. God knows what's in your heart. And I don't know what your dreams are, but God does. And, you know, as I read this story, I saw God begin to show and recognize a process that God wanted to do in our lives, and it had to do something. Actually, I was reading a magazine the other day, and I saw the story, and I quickly wrote it down on the side here. I need to tell you about it. You know when you're desiring for something to happen, you think, oh God, you know, why isn't this happening? And well, actually, it was about, it was a Christian magazine, and it was entitled For Would-Be Pastors. And I just couldn't resist writing it down because it was so funny. It was a preacher who quit the ministry after 20 years and he became a funeral director. And he was asked what changed his mind from being a pastor to a funeral director. And he said, well, 2 years ago, I spent 2 years trying to help straighten out Johnny's life, and he's still an alcoholic. And then I spent 6 months trying to help Susan straighten out her marriage, and she's just filed for divorce. And then I spent 2.5 years trying to help Bob straighten out his drug problem. Well, he's still an addict. Now at the funeral home, when I help straighten them out, they stay straight. Don't you love it? Not very tasteful, but very funny. I thought it was so cute. I thought my mum would have loved that. Oh dear, sorry. I just had to tell you that story. So in verse 28, let's have a look at verse 28. Let's get back to the Word of God. Verse 28. Where are we up to? It says, then Laban gave Jacob, Leah, and Rachel at the same time. All he had to do was work for the 7 years. You see, folks, I want to say this to you, that the gifts and the dreams of God are already on the inside of you. They are already in you. They are already on the inside of you. But what we need to do is listen to the word of what happened. You see, Rachel remained barren. Isn't it interesting? Did you hear that? Did you read that? Then Jacob did so and fulfilled her week. So he gave him his daughter Rachel also as his wife. And Rachel gave his maid Bilhah to his daughter Rachel as a maid. Then Jacob also went into Rachel, and also he loved Rachel more into Leah. He served Laban still another year. Now, where's the scripture where it says that she remained barren? It's further on down. I didn't finish reading the scriptures. Let's read on down from verse 31. When the Lord saw that Leah was unloved, here we go, he opened her womb, but Rachel was barren. Interesting, isn't it? He was still married to both women, probably sleeping with both women, but Rachel, she remained barren. But Leah, she was very fertile. It was amazing. Let's read on. Well, let's read on. It says, so Leah conceived and bore a son, and she called his name Reuben. You see, what I want to say here is we must first learn to love Leah, the process. before we begin to see our destiny bear fruit. We must learn to love Leah, the process. I've got a friend called Faye who bought a crabapple tree, and the first year it didn't bear any flowers or anything. And you know what crabapple trees are like, they made the most glorious blossoms. And she wanted to rip it out, but her husband encouraged her to be patient and give it another year. So she gave it another year, did the same thing, and she was really ready to rip it out that year. And he said, no, please, honey, just one more year. So she said, okay, so she left it. And she said, you know, when she sees that tree now, the blossom is so glorious. And when she looks at the red apples on that tree, the brilliant colour, it reminds her how impatient she can be with all the other things in her life as well. You know, that's so true. We want everything yesterday. We want it now. Thank you very much, God. I want it now. I want my healing and I want it now. I want everything. I want it now. I want a husband. I want it now. I want your kids. I want it now. I want everything now. You know what I mean? And so in the midst of that, we're not willing to wait for the process that God has got to us. In 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6, it says, therefore humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. That he may exalt you in due time. You see, folks, when you see our destiny is Rachel. Remember that Leah had to come before Rachel. The process has to come before the provision. The problem is we try to cut the process short and divorce Leah. That's what we try and do. We try and separate ourselves from the problem. And we may try, and in our trying to do this, we may actually miss out on Rachel altogether because we're not faithful to Leah. And I believe that God wants us to really begin to see that if we're faithful in what he has already given us, we'll begin to see. You see, he was wanting to see whether we'll be loyal. Whether we'll be loyal and allow the seed of Leah to be fruitful. Jacob proved faithful in fulfilling his obligation to Leah. Have to say that to Jacob. He proved faithful and fulfilling. And by the way, Leah will give you something that Rachel never will. Leah will give you something in your life that Rachel never will. It will give you a foundation of character. If you try and bypass Leah and focus on Rachel, you'll never obtain the fullness of God's promise. It's so real. And sometimes we try and cut it off so often. But if you're faithful to Leah, God will bring about something, some things in your life that are necessary to your lasting destiny. And Leah is part of that. Let's continue with the story. Verse 31. You see here, the first thing that Leah, in the process, Leah was given a son called Reuben. You see, Reuben, the name Reuben means a gift from God. A gift from God. God, the gifts of God are given to you and I. They are given to us. If you're faithful to the process, then spiritual gifts will be your portion. You will begin to see the Spirit of God begin to touch, and those gifts that God has placed within you begin to blossom in your heart if you're faithful to the process. And I know that it's so true. They're given to us. Verse 33, go on. She had another son, and his name was Simeon. Now, Simeon means God has heard. God has heard. You see, because I imagine that Leah was starting to get a little desperate in her heart, because she knew that her husband loved Rachel more. She knew it on the inside, in her heart of hearts, that he loved her more. But she was faithful, and in the midst of that, she started to get, and she began to cry out to God, and God heard her cry. She had another son. You see, in the process, you'll begin to understand who you are in God, and that he'll never leave you, that he won't forsake you. He has not forgotten about you, and that the place that he's established, and that's a place where you begin to establish in your relationship with God something really special in the spirit realm. Something really strong and really special, and I know that that's what God has done, and God hears you. He hears your cry. Verse 34, it goes on to say that she had another son, and his name was Levi. Levi means unity and attachment. Unity and attachment. You know, it's the place where we become one with God. When Levi is birthed in our hearts, we begin to have an awesome intimacy with God that we've never had before. And we begin to do things. And you know that verse in Romans chapter 8, verse 38, that says, nothing shall separate us from the love of God becomes so real. Neither death, nor life, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come. And you become absolutely persuaded in your heart about who God is in the midst of this time. And it is a hard time. And it had been for me up to this particular point when God began to speak to me about this. You become convinced about his love, you become convinced about the love that he's given you to touch others and the call of God, and you begin to just trust him like you've never trusted him before. Then in verse 35, let's read on. In verse 35, she has one last son, Judah. And Judah means praise. Judah means praise. You see, God is looking for a heart of praise and worship. He's looking for a heart where you'll begin to, in the midst of your hard time, in the midst of everything when it's tough, you'll still praise him. You'll still lift your hands and say, you are the God, you are the one, Lord, and you are the one that will begin to do things. So there's a process that we have to go through. Do you know what that process is called? It's called dying daily to self. Dying daily to self. Now in conclusion, I'm going to finish in a minute. I want to say this, that no one, not one person, is exempt from the process. Not one person, not you, not me, not anybody, none of us are exempt from the process. No one at all. But it says, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Oh man, sometimes you think, oh God, how long do I have to wait? As long as it takes. As long as it takes. This is not a passive waiting, by the way. It doesn't mean you kick back and do nothing. Absolutely not. Some of us get angry and impatient and upset with God in the process. But you see, he wants to see what we're made of. What's more, and more importantly, not just what we're made of, more importantly, he's working a process in our lives in order to make us. Amen. In order. Now I can see the lights coming on in so many of your eyes as I look around the room. Oh, so that's what's happening in my life. Oh, now I understand. Oh, okay, that gives me understanding that I can work through this process and begin to thank God and glorify God in the midst of it and watch God grow me to a new place in him. You know what? This is what it's all about. It's all about that. It's about character. It's not just about gifts. It's about character. It's about God building. And then the gifts then begin to operate because God trusts us, you see. And so in the midst of it, it's such an amazing thing. And this process, so this afternoon, please don't try and cut off the process and continue to allow God to develop what he wants in your lives and in mine. And you know, as I began to see that, and God began to do a real work in my heart, I began to change. And over a period of 3 months, I began to see God do something in my heart. And you know what? There was absolutely no change in the situation that I was in, none whatsoever. But I was different, because I understood that God was allowing me to walk through this so in order to make me into who he wanted me to be. I cried buckets in the middle of it. I wanted to even stamp my feet and have a tantrum from time to time. And that's the truth. It's true. I'm no different to any of you, and don't think that I don't know about you. Because I know about me. And, you know, in the midst of that, and so, you know, it's, and also that, and I wanted to say, God, where are you? But as I pressed into him, I knew where he was. I knew he was in the midst of the toughness. And I just began to hold on to him. You know, if I hadn't known he was there, I don't know what I would have done. Ladies, I want to tell you, there is no other place to go. God wants us to go into him, draw into him, to the very, very, very secret place of his heart. Begin to draw on it. And as you begin to do that, begin to understand that that process, when you're faithful to the things that he's asked you, in the midst of it, yes, there is a provision, a reward for what God has got for you, but there is a process for that to come into place. And God wants you to know that if you are faithful to that, he will honor you. I know it's true, because on so many occasions, he's done it for me. I'm not saying that I haven't got any more of those things to go through, because I'm pretty sure that's not true. But in the midst of it, God spoke to me so clearly from the word at this time, and it was very powerful in the midst of the toughness. And I want to encourage you that God's going to do that if you allow him to. Now, I'd love us just to worship for a little while. Can we have some worship? Thank you, Henny. And have some worship for a little while. I'd love us just to worship. I know that some of you need prayer, just in agreement that God would speak specifically for the word this morning. There are so many of you who I could just see the lights going on this morning where you have believed so many lies. And God wants you to know that the truth is there. And who knows, God may even speak prophetically. Who knows? We'll just begin to just trust him and just see where he wants to go and what he wants to do for you specifically. If you would like a prayer, please. Please just come. As we worship together, just come to the front. Let's stand up, ladies. I know it's hard. You've been gracious. It's hard. It's hot in the afternoon, and you're probably tired from the weekend and from your busy lives. But let's just enjoy the presence of God for a little while. Let the presence of God begin to fill you and refresh your hearts as you begin to just trust him. So let's stand together, eh? Thank you, Lord. If you would like prayer, don't wait. Just come. Just come. Don't hang around waiting for other people. The presence of God and the anointing is here.